Seated, need you take God's word when you get seated there and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be looking at the first 11 verses. Acts chapter 1, and we'll start right there at verse number 1 and go down through verse number 11. Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. The word of God says this: "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his name, in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Now keep your place there. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, A Powerful Influence in Our Community. That is what the church was then, and that is what the church is to be today, a powerful, positive influence in its community. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you today for the power of your word. Would you minister to our hearts now? Help us to stay alert. Help us to stay awake. Help us to stay attentive. And help us to have a heart that says, I am willing to obey what God touches my heart with from his word. In Jesus' name, amen. A church is planted in its community to have a positive influence and reach as many people as they can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the early church in the book of Acts and the early church in Jerusalem definitely had a positive influence in its community. You can see in the early chapters of the book of Acts that this church was growing dramatically. They started off with 120 people in the upper room, and then you go in chapter 2 and you find that Peter preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 people get saved in one day and baptized in one day. And then you move to chapter 4, and then we find that there is some preaching going on again, and then we find that 5,000 people get saved. And then you move into chapter number 6, and you see that the congregation just multiplies. And then again, in chapter 9, the congregation multiplies. It is believed that this church got upwards to 20,000 plus people in its early days. And that is a lot of growth that has taken place in a very short time. And I think with 20,000 people saved in the city of Jerusalem at that time, you would see that there was a positive influence going on because people's lives were being changed by the grace of the Lord. And the early church had possessed some truths that changed their lives and helped them work through in their community. And I want us to notice this morning one great truth that they held to. And that is, they believed in the risen Savior. Verse number 3 says, To whom, speaking of Christ, also he showed himself alive after his passion. In other words, he showed himself alive after his death by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so here was a early church that really believed in one great truth. They believed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you throughout the message why that was important to them, how it impacted their life then, and how it ought to impact our life this morning. Would you notice with me, first of all, that they had believed in the importance of the resurrection? Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You have the Word of God with you. If not, look along with someone else. But notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we want to notice verse number 12 through verse number 20. And here, this whole chapter deals with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he lays out some truths for us about how important the resurrection is to the faith of Christians. And notice now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, if you read in the book of Acts, you will find that this is something hard for people to swallow, even in those early days of the church, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But notice what he says, verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That's huge to our faith. Because most of us in here this morning would say, I believe that Jesus died. I believe that Jesus was buried. But do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? If you do, say amen. It's important. Notice now verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. In other words, what we have been telling others, is this all bogus? We are liars. We're false witnesses. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. Verse 15, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, get this now. If Christ be not raised, the Bible says, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, they lived, they died, that's it. If Christ be not risen. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ was of all importance to the Apostle Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians. It was all important to the early church, which we're studying this morning in the book of Acts. It was very important to their faith. It was very important for them to believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and he rose again. If he be not risen, the Bible argues then, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. You have no hope. You have no pathway of forgiveness of your sins if Christ be not risen from the dead. But I'm thankful this morning that we can say on the authority of the Word of God, it is not if he is risen. We can say on the authority of the Word of God, he is risen. He's not a dead Savior. He's very much alive. He was seen above 500 witnesses, the Bible says. He is a risen Savior. And the early church in this day, as it is forming, as it is getting going, this was so, so important to them. Because they saw Jesus alive. They saw him die. They saw the tomb in which he was buried in, but they also saw an empty tomb. Jesus Christ is not here. He is risen. And we find that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was important to the early church. But because it was important to them, it made a deep impact upon their life. Let me share with you four ways in which it made an impact in their life, and it can make an impact in our life. For them, it gave them, first of all, a renewed sense of hope. Remember now that when, particularly his 12 disciples, when they saw Jesus being betrayed into the hands of sinners, they fled from the Lord Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. These disciples fled from the Lord Jesus, and in essence, he died alone on the cross. And for them, it's over. Jesus is gone. He died. He told them, though, but they didn't listen. He had told them, men, I will die, but I will rise again. And we find that in Matthew 28 and verse number 17, that when they saw the risen Lord, the Bible says, they worshiped him. Then the Bible says in Mark 16 and verse number 20, that they went everywhere preaching the word. And then the Bible tells us in John chapter 21, one of the disciples that was very near the Lord Jesus was Peter. Many times Peter gets a lot of shots shot at him. The big mouth, the one who always will put his foot in his mouth, that kind of a man. But he was the one, I remind you, who did walk on the water for a moment. He was one who wanted to be as near to the Lord as he could. He was the one that even said, when Jesus said to him, hey, you're going to deny me, Peter says, no way, no how, that's not going to happen. But he did. And he went out and he wept. Unlike Judas, who went out and hung himself, Peter wept, and we find that he was so distraught. He was so downhearted, he can't believe that he did exactly what the Lord said he would do, but he did something that he said he wouldn't do. He would never deny the Lord, but he did. He was so down, he thought it was all over, and so what does he do? John 21 says that he then goes back to his former occupation of fishing, and he takes with him some other disciples. And we find in the context that Peter then sees the Lord Jesus, and Jesus encounters him, and he says, now Peter, here's what I want you to do. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to feed my sheep. Now he's got a renewed sense of hope, and in Acts chapter 2, guess what we see Peter doing? He's now preaching the risen Lord. He is not ashamed. He has hope. I have seen Jesus. I have seen him ascend back into heaven. I know he's real. I know he's alive. I know he's coming again, just as he said. And Peter had that renewed sense of hope. And that's what the resurrection does for us, church. When we go through the difficulties, when we go through the heartaches, when we go through the hard times in life, thank God we know that we have a risen Savior. That we have a Savior who is going to get us through, and we have a Savior who gives us hope. And so we notice here that they had a renewed hope because of the resurrection. But they also, secondly this morning, were impacted by the resurrection by having a sharpened focus. Look at verse number 11 again in verse chapter 1. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So, here they are reminded of a promise that Jesus gave them before he died, and that was this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, here it is, I will come again. Church, that promise is still very valid. Jesus Christ is coming. and this is our blessed hope. And they had a sharpened focus now. This living Savior, who they saw ascend back into heaven, shall so come in like manner. One day he is coming again. And as they went about serving the Lord in those early days of the church, they kept this focus. This helped them to stay sharp, and they anticipated the return of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse number 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You see, church, when you understand the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it gives you hope that this world is not all there is. That there is a better day coming for the child of God. Do you believe that this morning? There is a better day coming for us. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is and because of his promise. Listen to this. The Bible says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Jesus Christ is coming, and that's how I want to be found. I want to be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. I think about how that this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and just staying focused on that gives us hope. Think about a 15-year-old girl who suddenly got an illness. And it was so severe, it completely paralyzed her on one side, and she was nearly blind. She heard the family doctor say to her parents that stood by her bedside, she has seen her best days. The 15-year-old girl said, no, doctor. My best days are yet to come when I shall see the King in his beauty. And praise God for us, when we go through the sufferings, when we go through the difficulties, we can say, no, my best days are yet to come. My best days are yet to come. They are. And how could this early church, by the way, I don't want you to think that this early church, they just skated through life and they had it easy. You don't get very far in the book of Acts and you find that there's persecution going on. You find that Peter and John are beaten for their faith. They are commanded not to teach and preach in Jesus' name. But they take the beating and they keep on going for the Lord Jesus. So it was not easy. They knew all about the difficulties that life brings. And really standing for the Lord in that day could mean your very life. And some of them did die as a result of standing for the Lord and living for the Lord. But what helped them through it was they knew that one day, at any moment, Jesus can come. Jesus will come. And this helped them through those difficult times. You see, their belief in the resurrected Lord gave them a laser-like focus. He's coming. He's coming. We got to work while it is day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ also impacted them in a way that gave them, thirdly, a pointed message. I want you to notice with me now, you got your Bibles in hand, go to chapter 2, look at verse 23. Peter's preaching, and we're just going to jump in the middle of his thought here, but I want you to notice the resurrection of Christ being mentioned. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. So here he is, he's preaching to a group of unsaved people. And he's saying to them that you have taken the Lord Jesus Christ, you have crucified him, but he says to them, I want you to know God raised him Notice now, if you would, chapter 3 and verse number 15. Chapter 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says, again, Peter is speaking, and he says, "And killed the Prince of Life, which is Jesus, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." We've seen the empty tomb. Better than that, we've seen the risen Lord. He's alive. Chapter 4, verse 10. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Are you getting the picture here? A constant theme in the gospel message that they preached in the early church was, yes, Jesus died, God raised him from the dead. Look, if you would, now in verse number 33 of chapter 4. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." The resurrection is central to the gospel message, church. What is the gospel? Let's let the Bible define it. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look, if you would, at verse number 3 and verse number 4. The Bible defines very, very clearly what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all," here it is now, "which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So we see that the gospel is clearly defined for us from the Word of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you take any three of those components away, you have a false gospel. But you keep all three in there, you have, if you would, the full gospel message. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Very important. They stuck to that message throughout the early church. They didn't deviate from that. Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose again. We are witnesses, we saw him, we believe him, he's coming again. And they constantly just preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now go with me back to Acts, and I want you to go to Acts chapter 13 for a moment. In Acts chapter 17, we have the Apostle Paul in a city. And he's at the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was known for the goddess Diana. But Ephesus was also known as being a city full of idolatry. I mean, there was all kinds of idols in this city. And so here is Paul just observing all of this. And we find in Acts chapter number 17, verse number 22, the Bible says, "So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there was arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth." In other words, it's important for us to have these idols. "I make them for you because through it we have our wealth." And they go on in the passage. Now come with me if you would, and notice verse 28. "And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So they were blinded by Satan. That's what, by the way, Satan wants to continue to do. Keep people blinded to the truth. He wants people to, even to this day, believe in anything and anyone other than Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And we find in the passage of Scripture, these people are crying out because they're mad now. And we find in the context, great is Diana. Verse 29, and the whole city was filled with confusion. Verse number 30, when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. They allowed him not. No, Paul. This city's about to riot. You're not going there. Verse 31, and certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the people, and the more part, knew not wherefore they were come together. And we find in the context, in verse number, in these verses prior to this, that the Apostle Paul had mentioned the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Over and over and over again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was taught and preached in the early church. Church, I tell you this morning that this is, again, very important to our message. Look this way and think about this. If Christ be not risen, then what we are doing right here at 11:25 is useless. It's vain. It means nothing. I need to close the Bible. I need to dismiss you. And we need to close the doors of Calvary Baptist Church and never meet again. If Christ be not risen. But because he's risen, we have a message. I read that some bones from one of Buddha's fingers were sent as a gift to the emperor of China during the Tang Dynasty. They were later forgotten about and then found in 1981. The finding was a sensation to the Buddhists everywhere at that time, and the bones are visited even to this day by Buddhists. I can take you to Israel, though I have not been there. I don't have to because I have the Word of God, but I can take you to Israel and I can take you to the tomb of Jesus and you won't find one bone of Jesus. He is not there. He is risen as he said. That's our message. What a great message. It is a very pointed message. But I want you to think about this with me. Another way, and we're going to see this more so in the life of an individual saved in the time of the early church, and then God called this man to preach the gospel and wrote half of the New Testament scriptures. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul. But what the early church had was, as a result of the resurrection of Christ, was a determined passion. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. I want you to see this. And again, this comes from one who, again, saved and called to preach in the time of the early church in the book of Acts. And so here is one of the books that he wrote. And we find in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, this verse. He says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. This was a determined passion in the life of the Apostle Paul. He says, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. I don't want to know just about him. I want to know him. And I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. And I believe that the Apostle Paul got to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection. You say, well, did Paul ever see the risen Lord? I believe he did. When he was able to go up to the third heaven, he says, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But he had seen the risen Lord, and what a time that was for the Apostle Paul. But as he continued to live his life, he says, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. Some people want to know sports stats. Some people want to know all kinds of other stats about various things in life. Well, Paul said, for me, what I want to know is I want to know Jesus. To the early church, that was important. And this was one of the reasons why they had such a powerful influence in their community. They would speak about Jesus. They would go through their day and think about Jesus. Yes, they were ordinary people like you and I are. They had their battles. They had their difficulties. And as I told you earlier, that if for some of them they declare Jesus, it could mean death for them, or at the very least persecution, some of them being thrown into prison as a result of claiming the name of Christ. Didn't sway them. I want to know him. I want to know Jesus. Because you see, in Christ there is power over sin and temptation. In Christ there's power over trials. In Christ there's power for service. In Christ there's power for witnessing and telling others of the gospel. You see, in Christ there's power in my otherwise impotent life. I'm weak without him. So are you. We need him. That I may know him. Galatians 2:20 says, Christ liveth in me. The Bible says in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He's alive. And each person in here this morning that knows Jesus Christ as Savior, you are living proof that he's alive. Just a quick reminder. I would remind all of us this morning that every one of us was born with a common problem called sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are excluded from that. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And because of our sin, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then one day somebody cared enough to tell us exactly what I'm telling you this morning. And we cried out and said, Lord, I am a sinner. I believe that you died for me. I ask you to come into my life and save me. And from that day till now, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you drop dead right now, you'd be in the presence of the Lord. Not because you belong to this church, but because there was a day you turned from your sin. You cried out and said, Lord, save me. That was the greatest day in your life. Wouldn't you say that? That greatest day in your life was the day you got saved. The day, as we sang about this morning, that when the chains fell off, the light came on, so to speak, you were delivered, you were saved. The Holy Spirit of the living God came into your life, and there he abides with you forever. But the Bible also says, Christ in you. Christ in you. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, you know, that person reminds me of Jesus? I don't know if you've ever had that said about you, but I've been around a few people where, quite frankly, I could have said that about them because I saw Jesus in them. And you see, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The early church, along with the Apostle Paul, had this determined passion. I want to know the Lord in his resurrection power. The early church at Jerusalem had a positive influence in its community because they firmly believed in a risen, living Savior. And I can't help but believe that our church can have a deep and positive influence in Gaines Township and really even beyond if we would truly get a hold of the truth that our Savior lives, and that, so to speak, we would go to the tomb through the eye of the Scripture and hear the angel say, come and see, go and tell. Letting this truth move from our heads to our hearts. And saying, he lives, he lives. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. A forever relationship. Something that no one or anything in life can ever take away from me. What a great relationship. Now may I say, by way closing, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ renews our hope. I was encouraged this morning. I don't often reference news on a Sunday morning, but I've been following the story of these 12 boys stuck in a cave, deep into a cave in Thailand. My wife told me this morning before our class time that they've already been able to rescue 6 of the boys. And I thought about how they were saying that if they didn't get rescued, that the earliest possibly that they could get to them would be October because of the monsoons coming on. And I thought about how hopeless that kind of news would seem. And so everybody worked feverishly and still working feverishly, and it's a very dangerous mission, not only for the experienced divers, but also for the boys who, quote, had to learn on site how to swim. What an amazing thing. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ renews our hope. I don't know today what may be going on in your life that maybe has gotten you somewhat discouraged, maybe it's gotten you a little bit down, maybe you've just kind of lost a little bit of hope. Look to Jesus, the resurrected Lord, and let him renew your hope. Let him sharpen your focus. He is coming. And let it clarify your message that you share with your coworkers, with your friends. They need Jesus. And you have a very clear message to share. Share it. Just as those rescuers today are working feverishly to get those boys out, let us as well go forth from this service here in just a moment and work feverishly in the power of the Lord to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. We bear the erring one, tell them of the fallen, that Jesus is the mighty one to save. And let the resurrection of Jesus Christ deepen your passion for him, that I may know him. The songwriter wrote, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. And it is. The resurrection of Jesus Christ made a deep impact upon those early Christians. And they had a positive influence in their community. May God help us to do the same. Father, I thank you this morning for the power of your word. Thank you for the example of this early church who held to a truth that we know in our heads this morning, that Jesus is alive. But may that truth really transform us. It's so central to our faith. If he had not risen, our faith is in vain. We're yet in our sins. We are most people, most miserable. But he is alive. And I thank you today for the gospel message that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. And Father, I pray this morning that you would challenge us to be impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as a result, that Calvary Baptist Church in the Gaines Township community would have, and I believe we do have, but even a stronger positive influence in our community because we believe this truth. That we would go forth from door to door, from house to house, from neighbor to neighbor, and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Oh, Father, use us as a real lighthouse in this community. But again, do it because we firmly believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it has moved from our head to our hearts. Help us have a deep passion for you. Help us to have a great desire and longing for the coming of Jesus. Help us to go forth with this great message and share it with whosoever will listen. Oh, Father, help us. We need you. In Jesus' name.